Good morning. Welcome to Free Fire Radio of North State, right here on KCNR 1460. It's cold today.
28.
Colder.
28 degrees.
Joined today, of course, by our producer, Bad Bob.
That's been said before.
Okay.
Bad to the bone.
Bad Bob. And, of course, my soulmate, the lovely Linda.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing great. You know what? We have a lot on our plate today. We're going to have a special guest in the second hour. We're here till 9 o'clock, and we are taking your phone calls, 605-4567. What's on your mind?
And if you haven't visited it yet, look at our website, KCNR1460.
I want to talk about Facebook. It's got the lineup.
Yeah.
And the reason that just made me flash, you know how girls are.
This morning. it's not New Year's Eve, but and plus the fag Bad Bob fell on the floor when you said that.
But isn't it appropriate at 7 a.m.? Anyway, I want to talk about Facebook. It's such an amazing form of communication. I'm getting email. I'm getting Facebook requests to be friends from high school. Okay? High school.
I mean, high school classmates, not just ones in Shasta High today.
No, from my classmates, yes.
Oh, got it.
From Rio Americano in 1976. That was the year I was supposed to graduate. I went out a year early, 75. Yes, I did get my diploma, but I graduated a year early, had all the credits and stuff like that. Anyway, TMI. But here's the stuff that is just amazing because through Facebook, they're hearing about our station. And I was really fortunate to go to a really great high school at a time when they had audio visual and TV and a lot of those, my classmates went off to do some really important, incredible work. One of which is Jeff Michael, who is an anchor at Fox in Los Angeles, and another guy by the name of Toby Browning. So we emailed Toby yesterday. You got to go to his website, tobybrowning.com. He is like the voice.
He does all the voiceovers and does trailers for movies and commercials and all types of things.
I mean, he was like 6'4" and 120 pounds in high school and had this voice that... Toby Browning, and now he is...
It's the same voice.
He has the same voice. He just grew into it. But, wow, we went online yesterday and checked that out, and I emailed Toby. I said, Toby, you know, gosh, here's Linda Snook from the past. You know, we were in Guys and Dolls together and did, you know, all that theater stuff. And, you know, maybe you'll call up and maybe you'll do, like, a little something for us up here in the North State. So we'll see. But that's the cool thing about Facebook. Have you received...
Well, you know what? A gent I went to college with and have not seen literally since like 1968 sends me an email that says, is this the Carl Bott that went to Central Washington State College? I used to hang with in Central Washington State College. And I went back and I said, is this the guy whose brother's car we shot up one day? there's a long story behind that. And it turns out it was. And he's down in Naples, Florida, of all places. And you do. There's people that come in that you haven't heard from years. I just got another one, a guy I'd worked with 15 years ago.
Well, at least you shot up a car and not a cow.
Never do that.
I mean, that's disgusting.
Said the car needed a little more pizzazz to it, a little more character. I just happened to say it at the wrong time.
Bullet holes on the side of the car will make you think twice about fooling around with somebody driving it.
We've got to take a break here. This is Carl on the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. You know, when we come back, we're going to talk about the importance of checking, having two people look at something that's going to cost a lot of money. You know, instead of just taking one person's viewpoint on it, have somebody else come in and take a look at it because it can save you thousands. We have a great guest coming in at 8 o'clock. We've got a lot of things we want to talk about, including, hey, what's that sound? Oh, it sounds like a whine. Where's it coming from? Oh, City Hall. Carl in the Bot. Free Fire Radio. KCNR 1460.
And welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM.
Are you dancing?
I'm dancing. You know, you know, it's one of the reasons we don't have cameras in the studio right now is because you probably don't want to see me dancing. I have a perfect face for radio.
If you're just tuning in, this is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio,
This is KCNR 1460. 605-4567. We're taking your calls. In fact,
Bad Bob is pushing us. You know, he keeps throwing things in our face. Okay.
Mark.
Good morning, Mark.
Actually, my name is Martin.
Martin.
Okay, you're on KCNR this morning. Good morning.
Bob,
how are you
here.
Doing, Carl and Linda?
Yeah, we're good, Martin.
What's up?
I just had it out with my aunt about trying to protect America, and it was just unbelievable that she still believes that I am best off just keeping my trap shut.
To who? Keeping your trap shut to who? Everybody,
well,
or just not saying anything?
Yeah. Yeah, that's pretty much it. It's like I should not speak out. I shouldn't denounce the president. I shouldn't bring up opinions of my own that are opposite of what's going on in our government today.
Well, you know what? If you did not voice your opposition, if everybody just got into lockstep, you know, and being the little sheeple that a lot of people are, then nothing's going to change. I mean, there was a huge change, supposedly going to be a huge change in this last election. I haven't seen a huge change as far as the way politics are done.
Yeah, there has been no change.
I haven't seen the transparency. I have seen changes as far as money being spent. I have seen that, but I haven't seen the transparency in government. I haven't seen the bipartisanship. I haven't seen the fact that that lobbyists are not in the White House. How come the pharmaceutical companies got such a great deal on this health care plan? What's going on with that? You know, somebody needs to tell me where the change is. And if we didn't say something, Martin, then everybody's just going to go down the tubes and we deserve it.
That was exactly what I was trying to point out.
Okay, Martin, and so, let me be the devil's advocate here.
Go ahead.
We know that in life you have to pick your battles. And if you're talking to somebody who's dyed in the wool, you know, they're going to just, they're stayed in their ways. You are going to walk away and feel exhausted and frustrated because that's just how they are. So you, as an individual, and your outrage, you're not going to convince people. I mean, go ahead.
I agree. I agree. You are right. And that is what has totally blown me away, is the fact that this person just does not see my point of view, and I'm trying my best to explain to them where we really are at as a country.
And some people choose not to see that, which is very much is what we're seeing in our society. So you as an individual, this is why the Tea Party has exploded, because people are fed up. They can't go to their families. I've had this conversation with a woman who had to walk out on her daughter. She was so ticked off because she said, my daughter just couldn't get it. It's almost as if you have that born-again attitude where you're so passionate and frustrated at the same time. You want people to share the same frustration, and they're looking at you with their hands up in front of them like, whoa, I'm okay with the way things are. I'm sorry you're in this twisted, you know, uncomfortable zone. But the best thing I think you could do is this is the time to take your angst and show up at a tea party, write a letter to your congressman or your senator or to the president. Just get out there and be proactive, because otherwise it'll just eat you up.
Well, that's exactly correct. I am doing my best to try to get the word out to everybody that I know that things aren't good right now.
Well, you know, have you ever thought that your aunt is going, what's going on with him? How come he doesn't see what's going on, how great it is?
That's pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's like, well, actually, what she thinks is she thinks that I'm getting us into trouble with my attitude.
Nah.
And I'm like, what?
Well, you know, just with Janet Neapolitano, because she thinks that you know, anybody that belongs to, you know, insurgent groups like the Tea Party or Pro-Lifers, or you're a veteran, you know, you're probably a threat somehow. I mean, she should be looking at the underwear of people coming in from Yemen. Okay, hey, Mark, we got to take a break here. Thank you so
All
much
right.
for your phone call, and have a great
All
day.
All right. Talk to you later.
Bye. You know, I'm going to take a break here in a couple minutes. But
we always like taking calls because, yeah. you know, this is what happens when you call
in. It's you're the voice. You're the voice of the community. And I'm sure Martin is one among many that are just in a place of
frustration.
Ick.
Well, you know what the thing is that not everything coming out of the administration is totally wrong, okay? There are things that they've done, like, you know, the way they bumped up the money for the Veterans Administration. That has been a huge success. Some of the things they've done, though, just don't make sense. And when you talk about phone calls, the process of a phone call, of course, as soon as you dial the number 605-4567, it comes into the studio. The phone rings. Bob leaps up. He points at the phone. He jumps on the phone. He pushes the button. He waves at us. He waves papers at us. He gets on. He talks to people. He's over there coughing right now. He's talking to people on the phone saying, you know, and giving them exact instructions. You know, if nothing else, even if you don't talk to us, call the studio and talk to Bad Bob. 605-4567. Call in the bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in KCNR 1460. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. I love that place. Patriot Guard riders hang out there. A lot of people come in to see it. Finest walk-in humidor in the North State. They've got Espresso Joe's on the premises. The girls there will fix you your favorite cup of coffee at a very reasonable price. In fact, so reasonable, you'll probably want to get two and share it with your friends.
And the best price, coffee beans.
In the North State.
$10, best
$10
price.
A pound for gourmet.
You know, they're not 12-ounce bags. They're 16.
16-ounce bags.
That is a savings.
Okay, hey, look, important thing is, hey, have you ever gone out, you know, this time of the year, who has problems with their heaters? I mean, you know, the furnaces, I should say, in your house. Well, we did. Of course, we do. And my sister's coming in to visit. And just, you know, we have two furnaces. This is a 1941 house. It was built in 1941. And I think some of the stuff is still there from 1941, personally.
Oh, yeah, but, underneath the house.
Yeah,
I've
when
heard
we
were
underneath
yes.
the house, I looked at stuff and we ran out screaming. We brought in some people that worked for 2 days just pulling stuff out from up. Anyway, so the heater, the furnace goes out. So
Wally would have had a fun time.
Right. So an unnamed company came in to look at it. And I'm not going to, you know, throw it out. But the first person was trying to explain to me why it wasn't working. And he said it had something to do with, you know, the refrigerant not being heated up. And I said and that I needed a whole new system. And I said, well, wait a minute. If the other part works, it doesn't make any difference how it's heated up. And he didn't understand that process. So they send out the supervisor. And he looks at it, and he's shaking his head. He goes, gosh, you know, it's just not working. And, you know, you're going to need a new system. He says,
we couldn't guarantee anything because, oh, gosh, look, they've got exposed wires. And so I said, well, how much is that going to cost? And he said, well, you know, it's not really an estimate. He says, but I'd say around $10,000 to fix this. And I went, whoa.
Which is usually what I hear is an overall replacement
kind of price
of a new system.
But this is, you know, so we had, so a couple of weeks went on and temperature got down to 40, so we figured, okay, let's call somebody else. Let's just see. And so the second person came out, and they look at it, and they said, I think you need some Freon.
Well, wait a minute. Let's go back that they came out, and they knew that they had to get a special piece of equipment for a 1976.
Oh, okay. I didn't really, yeah.
Yeah, it's that old, that unit. We also have a boiler, which some people don't even, that was there before I was born. But anyway, so the 1976 heating unit, this guy had not even been born before 76.
Right.
The younger gentleman will give you a name in a bit because they were superb and we're thrilled. But they had to go and get a special piece of equipment that could test the Freon.
And when they did, they found out that, guess what? we didn't have enough Freon in it, and the little brass nuts that go on it, the rubber had worn out at some point, you know, probably someplace in the last 40 years. They fixed it. You know, so what it needed was Freon. And now our house is absolutely balmy.
We love it.
So we're going to tell you now. And so the second group of people that came in, father and son.
The Moons.
Yeah.
Bob Moon, heating.
And
give him a call. And you know the cool thing is?
What?
They are... They have been here. He was born and raised. His dad was born and raised. It's
that
great old Reading family story.
Yeah.
And that, you know, Reading is a small town and people know his family. His son went to Shasta High. He went to Shasta High. His father went to Shasta High.
And his granddaughter just graduated from Shasta High. I mean, come on. I mean, these are people
yes.
that are solid citizens. And the only thing I can say is, you know, from what I know of Mr. Moon and son, I would recommend them because they came out, they looked at it, they said, you know, and they worked at it hard because our Cracker Jack construction crew that put up a wall put it right next to the...
Like two inches to get in there.
They had, so they were upside down, backwards with a mirror and did this. You know, I can't say enough about them. But here's the big thing I want to share with all of you, our friends. Don't just take that first opinion. Get a second one. And you may be surprised. Okay, now we've got. Let's go to the phones.
Gary,
good morning.
Good morning, Linda and Carl. Well, I'm addressing the topic of the day, of course, which is the Bivet bomber. you're with me on the Bivets?
Yeah, it was in his underwear, from what I understand.
Yeah, BVDs. Yeah, so they call him the Bivet bomber.
Okay.
As opposed to the bomber. Okay.
Anyway, well, you know, this all makes sense. I received for Christmas a wonderful gift. The book is called Triple Cross. It's by Peter Lance. He's
okay.
a profound investigative reporter. He wrote 1,000 Years for Revenge and Cover-Up, and it has to do, in essence, with 9/11. And this one is puts it all together. It's footnoted, 30 to 40 footnotes per chapter. He has court documents. Interviews with the FBI, et cetera, in essence, and he's not Monday morning quarterbacking, he presents the info, and you can easily figure it out. It's just like the Bivet bomber was able to go on the plane, is the evidence before the people and the investigators was not paid attention to. In the case of the Bivet bomber, we know that he bought a one-way ticket in cash. That's a red flag. That's a no-no. He had no luggage. That's another no-no. And how long does it take to check a no-fly list, et cetera? How long does it take for your credit card to be okayed or not okayed, right? But nobody wants to do it. And the evidence, 9/11 could have been prevented if the FBI and other investigative agencies, CIA, had
that shared
paid
information.
Attention to info
yeah.
in front of them.
Yeah, you know, from what I understand is, and I heard that there were some firewalls built into it so that, you know, the Central Intelligence Agency wouldn't have access to things from the FBI because of external... the CIA is not supposed to be investigating citizens of the country.
He goes into that, and he mentions Gerlich, et cetera,
yeah.
and it depends on who you talk to.
Right.
Some agencies said, no, that is baloney. They were working cross, and they do that.
Uh-huh.
And others say, no, it was a wall. But the rest of the title of Triple Cross is How Bin Laden's Master Spy Penetrated the CIA, the Green Berets, and the FBI.
Well, you know what? That sounds like a pretty interesting book. We'll have to take a look at it.
It is a wonderful read. It is not boring, and it reads like a thriller, a mystery thriller. Unfortunately, it is not fiction.
Yeah.
It is nonfiction. Cool. It is true, and it's sad. And the as like many people have said, the airport security is for show, and it... It really is. You have to stop them before they enter a plane, and it can be done if people are willing to do the job. And it seems that the administrative part, the upper echelons of the CIA and the FBI, are too busy with their own little turf wars and their fiefdoms and not pay attention to what the grunts are doing on the ground.
Well, you know,
the book is called Triple Cross. Again, the author?
Triple Cross by Peter Lance. And it's a fine read. I mean, he's a great investigative journalist, and he has the credentials. And because he has the credentials, he's able to enter areas and talk to people that apparently nobody else can, or at least he has the insight to do it. It's well written, and it's worth a read, and it makes a whole lot of sense when you hear about the terrorists and who's doing what, etc. It makes a whole lot of sense of what's going on, and it's about how it is being done in the United States.
Okay.
Wow,
but
Gary.
Thank you so much for the phone call, Gary, and we'll take a look at the book.
All right. You take care. Right.
Thanks, Gary. Bye. Thanks for the call.
Okay, let's go to
line two. Marty, good morning. Marty. You're on KCNR. You
Marty.
There?
Marty?
No, we lost
Did
Marty.
Did we lose Marty? Okay.
Sorry, because we kept him on forever.
Well, you know, this is a little bit of change in, well, it is a lot of change in subject. We're going to be always talking about what's happening here with the bomber.
The BVD bomber.
The bomber. Well, you know what he said. I mean,
that was the other thing.
Okay,
right.
Well, I kind of wanted to change the subject, but I just started thinking that, as we were talking about that, is he said there's plenty more to be. There's plenty more for this to come. There's plenty more planning that's happening. Just it's going to happen. And you know, when you hear something or somebody who has. He had enough on him to blow a huge hole in the plane, could have taken the whole thing down. God only knows if the plane went down, what would have happened then, what would have fallen, how many hundreds of people would have died?
On the ground, yeah. 300 people on the plane and then whatever it hit on the ground.
But this is indicative of, I mean, you know, when you're turning on the news this morning, you think, oh man, this is so depressing, but it's just about keeping a watchful eye, and that there are cell groups in the United States, and it's not about being paranoid. It's about, hello, it's happening.
And there's nothing, you know, if there's something around you that just doesn't look right, you know, should you say something about it? You know, where's that line before paranoia hits? But other things you see, this isn't right. You know, would you report a meth lab across the street? Yeah, of course you would. So would you report some other strange goings on, you know, if you see people that are, you know, that seem, you know, appear strange? Not different looking, okay, get rid of that one. But, you know, you see things that are happening that just don't make a lot of sense. Okay, you know.
Okay, well, can I change the subject for a minute? Because this is just
captured. I wanted to talk about whining.
Let's just wait till whining till after the break. But
okay.
You're a worse guy. I mean, what, you know, let me ask you, and we have a couple of gals that are really very much horse experts on Saturdays, Alana Burke and Trudy Pratt. They both are experts in the horse field, and they have horses and train horses, and, you know, they're amazing. So I would be curious what their thoughts are, but you have had many years. In fact, you started the Marine Corps polo team.
It was a slow year.
But and you did endurance races, so you've spent a great deal, and you took classes on becoming a farrier. And the reason I'm telling you that is because you have been around horses. What do you feel about this Mustang Roundup in Las Vegas? 250 wild Mustangs being round up, and what the outcry is that people are thinking it's inhumane to round them up with helicopters. How do you feel about that?
Well, the fact is that there's too many horses out there for the environment. That's the bottom line. Is they can only sustain so many horses out there, and it's more than 250. I think they're running up a lot more than that. I think what the outcry is
2,500.
Yeah,
excuse me.
It's what the outcry is.
Mr. Zero.
Is the way that they're doing it. They're doing it during the winter with helicopters, and they're chasing the horses down. Now, there's one thing that people know: if a horse will run itself to death. Plus, the fact is, you know, I don't know how many of the horses out there are young horses that will just cannot keep up with it. I don't know how they're doing it. You know, I don't know. I'm not out there, so I can't say is that, you know, the Bureau of Land Management is driving the horses over cliffs and killing them. However, there are other ways to round them up. Now, they aren't rounding them up and killing them, though. They're rounding them up and putting them into holding areas with other adoptable Mustangs. But let me tell you, there's many of these horses are never adopted. And from what I understand, and I'll have to go back and check on it, but I understand after maybe 2 or 3 years and they're not adopted, that they can be sold off. And, you know, whether you like it or not, there's a huge market.
For horse meat?
For horse meat. Now, the outcry of it was is that these are, you know, horses are special animals and they should never be killed in the United States, so they don't. So what they do is they truck them across the border into Mexico.
Well, BLM hired a contractor, is what the special reporting was on that. The BLM hired a special helicopter contractor to round these up. There was 850 square miles of land that is overpopulated, and we become unavailable to wildlife and livestock.
Well, you've got to do something to manage. You've got to manage the land.
But helicopters?
And that's the thing is, was that the best way of doing it? It was probably the least costly way of doing it. Because otherwise, you're going to have to put a lot of people on the ground, and they're going to be out there on motorcycles, they're going to be out there on horses, they're going to be on ATVs, and it becomes very manpower intensive. We used to try and round up this little herd of rodeo stock. And we'd go out there, four of us, chasing down 20 horses, and it would be, you know, it could be, if you didn't do it exactly right, if you didn't get in front of them, that could be an all-day affair. So you're talking hundreds of horses, thousands of horses, it would be very expensive. On the other hand, this is a perfect way to say Obama hates horses.
No,
that should be the headline. Obama administration kills Mustangs.
I know.
Tortures Mustangs. Kills, tortures Mustangs.
I have a solution. Call in the 4-H. This is Carla Lindebaugh. We're going to take a break. This is KCNR 1460. Wait, Bob. Here we go. I love it. Was I win? One more time. There we go. This is Carla Lindebaugh here. Oh, yeah, we are having a good time here. It's the 28th of December right now. It's 29 degrees.
It's the 29th of December,
honey. It's the 29th or 20... Okay, you guys. 29th of December.
And it's 29 degrees.
And it's 29 degrees.
Okay.
I can read. You know that? I mean, anyway, Carla Lindebaugh here, KCNR 1460. You've got something that is in your craw.
I do. You know, it appears that... And this was in the... This is, you know, thanks to the record searchlight. It appears that the county prosecutor's office is... got their undies in a bunch. It appears that they are complaining that since they dialed up the sensitivity of the metal detector at the Shasta County Courthouse, that the Shasta County attorneys, prosecutors in particular, are complaining that they have to take their shoes off before they can go into the courthouse. And Stu Jankowicz, he's a county senior deputy district attorney and homicide prosecutor, says, for people who have to go to court several times a day, it's a little bit humiliating. Does that mean people that are on trial? Or does that mean, like, people going into a jury? Or does that mean, oh, they're just the prosecutors?
Why is that humiliating when everybody who travels on a plane has to also do the same?
Well, it says here, as Jankowicz says, it's for a prosecutor to appear to be a security risk in front of the jurors, in front of witnesses, and in front of defendants. It's inconvenient and humiliating to us. Well, you know what? Here's what I think of that. You know, enough people know what's going on that they don't think that just because you're a prosecutor and you have to take your shoes off that you are less than human or that you're less than capable of doing things. The fact that you start whining about it, though, means that you are much better than the rest of us out there that have to take it off. You know, I'll match my record against anybody's, you know, and what I've done and where I've been and, you know, and what I stand for. I have to take my shoes off. Is the prosecutor better than me?
I say get over it. I guess that would be like, okay, let's go back into the star mentality. Somebody goes through, doesn't feel like they deserve to go through security because they just won an Academy Award or they just won a Grammy. And I always equate things because of my yesteryears in show business. What makes you so special because you happen to have a, you know, a talent that was acknowledged?
Well, you know, it's being a prosecutor, and especially from what I've heard of, you know, the number of cases they've won as the number of cases other prosecutors win in other counties, not exactly right up there. But what also the thing is that this is what really bothers me, though, according to the record searchlight, is that that our DA, District Attorney Jerry Benito, canceled a meeting over there in the county offices to discuss a pedophile case because he was protesting the policy of having to go through the metal detector and having to take off their shoes. Now, I just find that really hard to believe, even though that Benito said, yeah, that's true, that that you're not going to go over and discuss a pedophile case. And pedophiles being, of course, lower than whale scum.
Someone needs to break that down for me.
And that and so that you aren't going to go over there and have a meeting, when have a meeting someplace else. Here's the thing. You know, they have like had like 162 comments concerning this, and I did not read one that said that, well, you know, the DA's got a point. You know, that, gee, why should they have to take off their shoes? But see, here's the other one. Then the attorneys are saying, well, why do we have to take off our shoes? We're attorneys. Well, let's not even get into that one. You know, don't even get me started on that part.
Now, we have friends that are attorneys.
Don't even get me started on that point. All right. The but here's the thing is don't complain about this. You know, the DA's office has already had, you know, it's had kind of a, somewhat less than a sterling year in some of the things that have happened. They've done a lot of good things, but there have been some questionable decisions. But to get into get into arguments and it hitting the front page of the paper about taking your shoes off, come on, guys. You know, let's grow up. Let's all, you know, let's put things in perspective. We all know why we're having to do this. Because there are people out there, they have found, you know, over 5,000 knives, have had like 10 guns picked up going through the metal detector. Now, probably most of those knives are like pocket knives that most men carry. But, you know, it could be other things, too. But maybe not the guns. You know, I don't think bringing a gun into court is probably good ideas, you know, especially if you're one of the defendants. But why are we so upset about taking our shoes off? I mean, that just doesn't make sense to me.
I think that, again, is pushing somebody's comfort zone. And, again, I guess where they may be coming from is if we're the ones that have to be making the decisions in whether to guilty or not guilty or bring this case in front of, again, the jury or the judge, is that it makes us, I don't know. I guess it just... I'm, you know, help me out here because okay. I can't. I'm just trying to always be. Let me get inside the head.
What they're saying is that, guys, we go over there so many times a day. We're the prosecutors. We should be exempt from this. Here's what I think. We gotta take a break here. Calling the bot.
605-45-67. We're taking your calls. What do you think, KCNR?
Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Okay, you know, as you all know, that you know, we launched the station a couple of weeks ago.
December 14th.
December 14th, to be exact. You know, and so we're still learning on some things. So last night we learned a very valuable lesson. The sign is up in the studio today. Do not cut the red wire. If you cut the red wire, Fox News disappears. Or it comes out in different segments that don't make sense at all. So up there now we have a new sign that says, do not cut the red wire. Do not take off wires. Do not stop the flow of information. But we've learned that last night. That was a very hard lesson to learn.
Well, in case you're just joining us, it's 29 degrees, December 29th. Good morning. Good morning. This is Carla Linda Bott on Free Fire Radio KCNR 1460. Did you hear about the good riddance? Kind of, what are you going to do to close down 2009? Well, in Times Square, they had a shred day.
Oh, yeah?
Just shred it. Don't you wish that there's things that you...
Thing?
Well, I mean, don't you think... No, everybody came, tourists, whatever. Whatever you needed to shred, bring it to Times Square. It was their third annual shred day.
Well, that's so they can use it for the New Year's Eve thing they have, oh, I bet.
I bet you that's good. But here is, this is adorable. Winner of a $250 prize for most creative item shredded was 12-year-old Alyssa Yankelevitz of Los Angeles, who was visiting her grandparents in New York. She shredded the memory of a counselor on a school trip who was later featured on the TV shows America's Most Wanted.
So what'd she do? She had the copy of it and she shredded it.
She said, I spent a week with him. It was really terrifying because I just found that out. I mean, I think that's a headline if you ask me.
Well,
that is so cute. Clever, good girl.
Our next hour we're going to have with our guest will be Fred Salante, the founder of the Missing in America Project, which is garnered national coverage this spring and summer, for a mission they did. We're going to be talking about the Missing in America Project. We're going to be talking about what they've accomplished and the plans for next year. We've talked about the DA's office complaining about about taking their shoes off. I hope they've got that worked out by now. It shouldn't take that. Now, one of the other things was people's pets. People have strange pets. In Las Molinas, this woman had a pet deer.
Oh, dear.
She had a pet deer that they found as a fawn. She fed it. It's 2 years old, or it's over, I guess it's 2 years old. The deer slept in the house.
Yes.
Somebody reported her. She had a deer at her house. She's 57, suffering from different medical problems. And the Department of Fish and Game came out and decided that you cannot have this deer. This deer is not, you can't keep it. It's dangerous. You shouldn't have a deer.
Is it forbidden to have certain wildlife?
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
But she had the deer.
Oof.
So the deer has been raised around people. So they decided to take it out. And when they took it out, to turn it loose, then they realized, they said this was a dangerous deer. It was trying to butt the officers. And because it had lost its fear of humans, that they figured it was going to be a hazard to the community, and they eliminated Rodney. So, and the lady says, Rodney was just a little bit excited. Here came people, from the Department of Fish and Game. You know what? This is a no-winner on this one here, because here this lady lost a deer. Department of Fish and Game goes there, instead of turning it loose, where they said it could be, it could be a danger to humans. I guess there's a place out there, though, that you can turn it loose, and that people are allowed around it. And, how long does it take for the deer to maybe unlearn something?
Okay, I want to hear how the deer is a danger to humans.
Well, no, I've seen that. Now, deer have hurt people.
But, I mean,
by attacking them. When you get up to 150 pounds and you got antlers and those hooves, they have hurt people before.
Got to hear more of the story. Was the deer domesticated, living inside her property, and somebody just was ticked because this woman had a deer that was a pet? I don't know. Let's take your call, 605-4567. Coming up in the next hour, we do have Fred Salante from Missing in America. This is Carl and Linda Bott. This is KCNR 1460, Shasta, Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in North State on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Our phone line is 605-4567. Our website is KCNR1460.com. Last hour we talked about wild Mustangs. We talked about taking your shoes off before you went in the courthouse and the whining that went along with that. We talked about changes in the government. We talked about the BBD bomber. And this hour, though, we're going to talk to one of our local
heroes.
And to us, a hero is somebody that does something that is not just for them, and that does things for the community, that helps the community, and in this case, our nation. And we'd like to introduce Fred Salante from the Missing in America Project. Good morning, Fred.
Morning, Carl and Linda. I want to say congratulations on this program and on your radio station and the whole works that's going on, and I'm happy to be back after a little hiatus to recuperate myself.
Oh my gosh.
As we like to say, is we had to buy the station so we could get a show, so
whatever works, Carl.
And you started an organization, now you're head of it, so that's good too. So
I'd like to start off, first of all, for our listeners, if you are an online type of person you need to see a visual. You need to go to miap.us. And if you scroll down, what we're going to be talking about here, you're going to see three containers. Tell us about this picture, Fred.
Well, this picture was taken in 2006 by the Oregonian at the Oregon State Mental Hospital. And what it is there's 3,600 cremains of individuals since 1890 to 1971 when they closed the hospital. They were all on shelves because the state didn't have a process of how to handle them or what to do to get them buried. And when I first started the project, this story had just broken. So it reaffirmed to me that this wasn't a problem that had started in Nevada and Idaho. It was in Oregon, and it was across the country. So this picture is symbolic of we have a mission to do, and let's get with it.
And so that was your impetus to get this started. Is that
correct? How it started.
So, and what we're talking about is thousands of cremains of veterans, well, it's all types, but we're talking specifically veterans here, that were never claimed. Either their families had died, maybe that these veterans had traveled and nobody, you know, the relatives didn't know where they died or where they were at. And there they were just sitting on shelves. And they rated a burial with honors.
Absolutely. And, you know, the problems, we say veterans as you clarified it, but there's hundreds and hundreds of thousands of total people there. And the job is that we have to really research, look up records, do everything on every one of these persons to be able to find out who is the veteran there. And it's not just a veteran, it's a wife of a veteran or a dependent child of a veteran. So if you look at the enormity of that task, the fact that you have to spend thousands of volunteers with thousands of hours in dusty, dirty records and storage sheds and facilities, it becomes a little bit bigger task than you think of normally.
Yeah. We know we're going to take a break here, Fred. When we come back, I want to talk about when you realized that this was what you were going to do and how you got started with it. And then we're going to be walking through what's happened with the Missing in America Project, including this wonderful, wonderful event with Honors in Arlington. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Hey, welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Your phone line's here at 605-4567. Our website is kcnr1460.com, and our guest is Fred Salante, the founder and leader of the Missing in America Project. One of the things we talked about is how it started. Fred, you know, when you saw that, you know, and obviously it tugged at your heart. So, you know, and you started this by yourself. Is
yes.
this correct? And
yes.
And then how did you get this thing off the ground? I mean, this is a nationwide effort now.
Well, it started that way because at the time that I started this program, I was on the national staff of the Patriot Guard Riders, and I was in charge, one of the people in charge of the help on the home front, which is doing activities that you do here locally that's separate from the KIA's returning, which is the absolute perfect mission for Patriot Guard Riders. But there was other things like the homecomings, the other stuff they wanted to do, and that was the part that I was working with. And so this was right down my alley then because I started going to Eagle Point Cemetery, and we saw that there
every month. This is up in Oregon now.
This is in Oregon and White City. And they were doing a service once a month for veterans that had died and were buried as a veteran, but they didn't have the military honors. Either the family didn't schedule a service or they didn't have money. But once a month, they would honor everybody that was buried in that month. And so that's what first started me to get looking for veterans that nobody would stand up for. So the mission really, basically, when you look at all the side is that I felt there was a need that there's a certain group of veterans that nobody's around to talk for them. Somewhere there needs to be a structure for somebody. Legally, they're out of the loop. They're out of everything. So my intent with this was to make a group that became recognized legally to speak and honor veterans that nobody else could do it for. And that's the simple fact, because if you go down most probate laws, if you're not a certain, it goes down a hierarchy, wife, daughters.
Yeah, through family.
Anyway, if you're not in that list, you don't know. And that's how some of these guys get dropped through the crack, because somebody doesn't put down there on the records who the next contact point is. So they lose track. They can't find an address. They move. They don't. They say, keep my husband until I'm go. Then the wife gets Alzheimer's or in an aid home. Then she dies. They bury her, and he's left somewhere still waiting. and I've found this countless times. So the point is, nobody else except that next of kin record can go in and have any authority, legally or otherwise, to claim somebody or to get the process going.
And so that's why when you started it, that now you have the legal right, or MIAP has a legal right to go in there and research it and then act as their representative, I guess is for want of a better word.
We actually are working in about 25 states with laws. We've got 12 states that have already passed laws for MIAP to be involved or to assist that the funeral homes and everybody have no liability to release all the information to a recognized veterans group so that we can then go to Jefferson Barracks and to the Personnel Records Center and get the information. And so the Department of Veterans Affairs has worked with us. We have a quasi-complete authority with them where they let us have a direct line. We don't have to call or do anything to anybody. When we find the information, we send it directly to Jefferson Barracks. They actually hired a whole person just recently to do nothing but the work for MIAP. So we're creating an impact legally in numbers of states with the federal government. We, of course, have a House bill, H.R. 2642, in front of the Congress of the United States to actually be recognized as Missing in America Project as one of be the 25th recognized group in America if it passes.
Oh, that would just be great. We will say our prayers for that to happen in 2010. Fred, not too long ago, maybe just a little over a month ago, there was an event that you had asked Carl and I to participate in that was really, I will say, to date, one of the great honors in my life and in our lives together as a couple, and that was to carry the remains and a flag of a fallen soldier, one that we didn't know, I think, from World War II. Could you tell our listeners, can you kind of walk through how this day began? Will it become an annual event? This is at the beautiful Igo Northern California Cemetery. If you've never been there, please go. I want to really encourage our listeners to take part in this. But was that in November? And what was that event?
Well, actually, believe it or not, that's a scheduled event. And so it wasn't a one-off one. We, every other month since we started at Northern, at IGO, we worked with Steve Jorgensen and the State Cemetery to every other month, as I mentioned to you, the service in Eagle Point for all the veterans that were. We have the same program running here every other month, the second Wednesday at 11 o'clock. And so every Wednesday, every other month on a Wednesday, we go up and we take care of any veterans that have happened to have been placed and didn't have military honors, and or anybody that we found out in surrounding areas. Some get more special than others. One we did a year and a half ago was totally televised and put on Fox News, and that was a great event. The following March, we had another big one. We happen to have found 18 veterans this last one that you went to, and we made it a little bit different because I wanted people not just to go up and there be nobody to see. I wanted them to see the urns that we had collected, how there were, because some of them were pretty raggedy boxes and different stuff. Sometimes in some of the places we go in and these guys are in baggies, they're in cardboard boxes. So what Missing in America Project has to do is to be able to do fundraising, do stuff, be able to buy urns. In California, we have to pay for $30 for a permit for every one of those guys to even move from a funeral home to the cemetery to be buried. So that's the kind of things we have to do. And this was a special one, and I wanted to take people like you that have supported us and other people and let them have the privilege of carrying an urn and carrying a flag, which, by the way, as I walked in the door, the first thing on the left side of this office was that flag. But I did notice you were missing one thing that bothered me, and that is that you didn't have our Honors at Arlington book. So I'm presenting you with a book so that as people come into this place, they can see and look at the pictures of that awesome trip.
Great. Now, we've got to take a break here, and we're going to talk about that when we get back. It's Honors in Arlington. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here in North State. It's Carl in the Bottom, KCNR 1460. Our guest today is Fred Salante, founder and the guy in charge, the main mover for Missing in America Project. And he just presented us with this wonderful book called Honors at Arlington. Now, we need to talk about that because this was a national event, not just a local event. And Fred, give us a background on this one.
Well, we went through some of the history of how we go to find somebody. And so we located two veterans with Silver Stars here in Northern California, one from Cottonwood and one from Sacramento. And they had been, one had just been left unclaimed in the funeral home. One had been for 13 years, they tried to get him buried at Arlington, and that was his wish, and that was the daughter's wish. So they came to me, and we combined to try to get something done. And because of the legal stature that we have and our good name that's going across the country, I called Arlington, and within 2 days I had these two guys scheduled. So therein was born, instead of just a trip to Igo, this became a trip from Reading to Arlington, Virginia. And in the process of doing that, we became aware of a Medal of Honor winner in Phoenix, that for six times people had tried to get this gentleman out of a back of a storage area. It was a garbage dump back of a hospital that burnt down many years ago. And this guy
it was a little tuberculosis sanitarium, I think, for the
government. Yes, it was. Yeah, and so. This guy was a Buffalo soldier. He got his Medal of Honor in 1863 or something like that. And so the point is that he was there, and there was a single headstone that they had sitting out in the middle of this empty field.
And I wish you could have seen this, because I've seen photos of it. It's a Medal of Honor winner, and there's nothing around it.
Well, we may get into that a few minutes, because we got one right here in our own state that's in worse shape than that one.
Well, we need to talk about that. So.
So the people that worked for me in Arizona called and said, what can we do to help this? The Buffalo Soldiers, which, of course, is a motorcycle group that honor Buffalo Soldiers, and you'll see in the photo album have beautiful colors and very professional. And most of them, as we found out during the trip, are actually policemen. And so part of what made this trip such an awesome thing was their help. But we went and got a federal court order, and because of, again, of our recognition and that we had done a service in Arizona, and Janet Napolitano, when she was governor, had given us special permission in Arizona to go in and be able to have legal stature. And so we went in and signed the federal court order and got Isaiah Mays exhumed and put him in the program. So from two Silver Stars, it became a Medal of Honor and two Silver Star gentlemen to take back. And, you know, you get medals and we say all kinds of stuff, but when you get up to Silver Star and Medal of Honor, these recipients are in a different class and they have a different level of honor and respect that we have to give them. So at that point it became kind of a duty, a solemn thing, and that's what guided all of us. And so then the event went to doing the fundraiser that you helps in and all the stuff. And again, we went through every state, and when you want, we'll talk of some of the details of how we went through some of the states, but you can't talk of the patriotism throughout this country that as we went through rain, and we had rain 19 out of the 21 days, but we took a group of 37 people from here. Some paid their own way, some were funded out of the money we raised. But you know, it became almost a spiritual event because we drew so many crowds and so many people and so much patriotism that they can say what they want about this country, but patriotism is dead.
You know, and Linda and I had the honor to be able to do a couple of things there. And that is, one was we were able to raise some money so we could help send somebody back. And the other thing was that we were able to start out on the ride from Reading and through Reno on this. And one of the sights that I will always remember as we're driving down the freeway was this older gentleman wearing his service cap, holding a flag in his left hand.
A large flag.
A large flag in his left hand, and he was saluting the group as we rode by. And I mean, you talk about, you know, tearing up when you saw that. That was a
still picture in my mind. 605-4567. That's the hotline. We're talking with Fred Salanti, and Missing in America Project honors at Arlington. Do give us a call. We'd love to hear from you. Were you on that ride? Do you have any questions? We left from Reading. It was May 21st. It was my birthday, and I couldn't think of a better way to celebrate my life. Because I've always been very patriotic. But, you know, I think when you think beyond, it's about me, and you think about these people who gave their lives to our country so we could vote, so we can have freedom, so we could have the wonderful things that we do in this country. It was a time to pay homage, to honor. So here are all these people. We're on our Harleys. It's hot. It's wonderful. We leave from the vet hall. And again, like Carl said, the guy, the single guy standing saluting us. And then as we got into the Corning area, the overpass was lined with people waving with written signs and flags. I was bawling like a baby because it just hits you. It hits you on a level that makes you think, wow, they get it. We're in this thing together.
Yeah, if you were on the ride, give us a call here at 605-4567. We're going to take a quick break here. It's Carl and Linda Bott here on Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Are you standing?
I'm just standing here. I didn't know we were on.
Well, the halls of Montezuma, you were standing at attention. That's why.
Got to put my earphones back on.
I don't care where when that song plays, you stand at attention.
Okay, who cut the red wire? All right, Fred, honors at Arlington. I can't say enough about what the book looks like. We've got somebody on the phone right here. We're going to go to them first. But when we come back, I want to talk about just how beautiful this book is.
And the photographers.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Fine.
Good.
What can we do
for
you?
You're on the air.
Well, I wanted to say two things. One is congratulations and thanks for getting back on the air. We missed you guys.
Thank you.
Completely. And the second is, yes, I was on that ride, and it was one of the most moving things I've ever done in my life, and I really appreciate Fred and the program, and appreciate being just a small part of the program.
What was your most memorable part there, Dave?
It was probably, like you said, the lone man there. Fred. Whenever he talks about this stuff, he starts tearing up and crying like a baby, and I said, oh, yeah, what a big baby. And then we went on this trip, and I said, oh, my God, I'm going to be a Fred all the way through it.
Well, we all did. You know, it was like I'm driving down the road, and this gentleman is out there. He's got to be 80-something, saluting, and I was like, gosh, I hope nobody stops right now because I'm going to have to slide past him.
Yeah, it was a very, very moving moment, and I think the whole trip, as Fred said, was a spiritual trip, and it just gained momentum all the way across the country. Wherever we went, people welcomed us, and it was just patriotism is not dead, and the people of America are alive and kicking, and they're a part of it.
If you get away from some of these naysayers and some of the things you see in the media that, you know, this country is a great country. I mean, we've made a few mistakes now and then, but as far as people loving this country and believing in what we stand for and believing in the Constitution, yeah, they're there.
Well, Dave, we hear that there were certain towns that literally closed their highway and had police escorts and parades across the country.
Well, the state of Kentucky took us from border to border. I don't know if they were trying to get rid of us or they just but they did. They had helicopters unmarked, and they had regular police and then a couple of motors. But it was a fantastic thing. And then we pulled into a mall parking lot there in Kentucky, and those guys put on the dig for us, and there was people all over. It was just a great, great thing. And then in Virginia, just before, we had 85 miles to go, And we, one of the Buffalo soldiers, I understand, said, hey, do we have an escort? And we said, we weren't sure. So about 15 minutes later, we had escort, and we went from that 85 miles, the police escort, and they were stopping traffic. They stopped the traffic on the thoroughfare for the last 85 miles.
This was a major freeway, too.
Major freeway.
It's not I-5. It was whatever that major freeway that is there that goes north and south through Virginia. They blocked it off so you all could ride through.
Yeah, it was four or five lanes on one side, and they were pulling cars over, but people started to come on, and one guy wasn't paying attention. He probably was on a cell phone or something, and the policeman went over there and beat on his, going down the road at 65 miles an hour, beat on his driver's glass, and the guy finally got
that was
got my thing going on and pulled over.
It was
fantastic.
Now, Dave, you were riding something called the Long Rider, weren't you? This trike?
Yes, I was.
Oh, you're that guy.
I am that guy.
Dave the Indian, he had animals all over. He had everybody signing it, but you also had the honor of carrying the
That was just a fantastic honor for me. I'm not a veteran. I support veterans, and I support my country, but to be able to be a part of that and to carry those gentlemen across country to lay them to rest where they needed to be, and rightfully so, from a pauper's grave in Arizona, the one man, and then the two other fellows, one from Sacramento and one from Cottonwood. And it was just, I can't explain it. It was such a moving experience for me.
You know, people that weren't there and didn't see it will never be able to, it's kind of like a lot of things. We can talk about it and you can read about it, but unless you've experienced it, as many things in life, it's you're not going to know what the feelings are.
Exactly. But you know what? There's many more of these experiences to go, and all people have to do is get in touch with the Missing in America Project and help out. And just finding these fellows has to be a tremendous experience. I remember one fellow not long ago we found down in Marysville, Yuba City area, and he was in a storage shed. And people were going through the things, and they found it was his footlocker, and found the gentleman, all his papers and all his medals and so on. And they were having a yard sale kind of a deal, and they stopped it abruptly, and
they found the remains
people knowing
yard
what
sale.
People knowing what we do found out about it and let us know, and we got him and took care of him and gave him his due.
Wow.
It's a fantastic thing that that all of our organizations around here do to support, our veterans.
Sir.
You know, it's Missing America Project, of course, and the Patriot Guard Riders, the Old Guard Riders, American Legion. You know, the list goes on and on and on. And a lot of these people belong to several of these organizations, because the bottom line is it doesn't matter which organization that you ride with or that you've got, maybe you've got a patch for. It's that everybody gets together for one reason, to support.
We're taking care of business.
Right.
Yeah.
Taking care of business.
Well, we appreciate your phone call, Dave. God bless.
Yeah, and God bless you, and may I have a great and prosperous new year, and stay on the radio, and ask Fred about the American Legion information. Unless he's already talked to you about it, he just found out. Yesterday, you just posted it to me, and it was kind of a great thing.
Well, we'll talk.
All right, you guys, have a great day.
Thanks
a lot there, Dave.
Bye-bye.
Well, we're going to have to take a break, but
we are going to be talking about Honors in Arlington, the Missing in America Project special book. Wow, I am telling you, this is a pictorial book that is a must for your coffee table. It is a spectacular visual of the trip to Arlington. And coming back, will you share with us that information you just heard?
Sure.
Put you on the spot. This is Carla Lindebot here, Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. This is clearly News Talk Radio.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. Bad Bob's just getting off on all this. He's just dancing around here. Okay, Fred, we're going to talk a little bit about this book, Honors in Arlington, but we want to talk first about the American Legion. That we just mentioned.
Yeah, what happened is the American Legion just published their
kind of like their bylaws, their goals for what American Legion does. It's called the Four Pillars. And when you get into the Four Pillars, the very first pillar is rehab and veteran support to do for laws, health, whatever. And when you go through their deal, you come to a paragraph in the very last portion of that, and it tells about how they support and have a resolution, and that Missing in America Project is a primary goal of American Legion International. And so in May of 2007, the American Legion passed a national resolution. Since then, AMVETS has passed one, and BVA of California supports us. But this is on the international level, not just a local level. And so, you know, you've mentioned three or four times in the entry about me and the founder. This is not a me.
No, I understand.
This project can't survive without volunteers.
So how we get people involved or bring light to people knowing about Missing in America is to tell people to go to the website, which is miap.us. Or, Fred, how did someone find you?
Oh, boy, I try to hide really good. but the biggest way to say that you're a supporter is if you go to the website, at the very top of the page, it says supporters, sign in here. And if you go in and you sign on as a supporter of MIAP, what that does is that once we get a certain level of people, we then become an organization within Department of Veterans Affairs that brings you up the line like we talked about earlier about getting nationally recognized. But aside from that, you can still become an organization that's listed and supported completely. But you've got to have at least a couple thousand supporters and volunteers and other stuff. So if you go to the website, you saw log on, you got that. That has all the emails, all of the information. Plus, if they want to call me, it's 530-229-9000. And if you want one of the books, that's what you got to do, because if you don't order them in bulk, they're very, very expensive, which we'll get back to with this beautiful photography and this pictorial historical document of our ride, darling.
That's exactly what I wanted to ask you about. Let's talk about the photographers, because I know that when we started on this trip, May 21st, we saw these photographers who were taking a bunch of pictures, but then we saw them in Sacramento where they were taking a bunch of pictures, and then we saw them in Reno and they were taking a bunch of pictures. Well, we left at that point. We left and came back to Reading, but they continued on, and they did a whole pictorial story about Honors at Arlington. Tell us the name of the photographers and how that began.
Well, it's Eric and Larissa, and it's an interesting story how I found them. We were down at a coffee shop with a group of us doing some training, and we came outside, and there was this lady with her camera taking pictures of flowers. And she saw us on the bikes and stuff and said, can I take some pictures? And therein became a relationship that I cannot even tell you. The photography is actually the minimum. They assisted in almost saving four lives across the trip. Both of these people are medical people who work for Mercy Hospital. One's an emergency room nurse and one's a surgical nurse.
Wow.
And Larissa and Eric became our combat medics. And they carried all the medical supplies. They had four people that had injuries that required them, from hearts to a crash on a motorcycle in Indiana, and the lady being unconscious. And there come, and it was a funny story with that, because there's two senators from Illinois were there interviewing me, and up come Larissa, blood still on her hand, everything, and she'd saved this lady that had crashed. And when the EMTs come, they had everything done. The EMTs looked and said, what the hell can we do? And because of their experience, they just picked her up and carried her away. Everything was done. A fire station at the next town heard that they had used all of their supplies and other stuff to help the people that they had. They came and gave us 100% replenishment of supplies out of their fire station. I mean, that's the kind of support we had.
These are angels in the wings.
So yeah. So they did everything from the start, to everybody from knife wounds to crashes on deals to heart attack.
Had a heart attack out there?
Actually, it happened at Arlington at the motel.
Oh.
And they were right there to save the day, but the other ones were on the way. So, you know, and their hobbies are photography, and they have a beautiful set of pictures. Their pictures are on display right now at Crown Camera for a while.
In fact, which is right across the street from us, I went over there, and it was they're absolutely beautiful.
Oh, photos. I have to go today.
I just found them yesterday. Ooh. So you need to go over and take, if you have not been down to Crown Camera to take a look at this, you need to do it, because it's an example of the kind of work they do. And, you know, we of course, we support our local businesses in this, but this book, and it is a little, you know, it may be a little pricey unless you get, you know, in however you work it out.
You'll see why.
But you'll see why when you look at this for the first time and, you know, go into
full. Unbelievable.
It's a... I mean, when you just, any page, you open it up, and the colors just hit you. And we're not pushing this book. It's just the fact, well, I guess we are, is that it is such a perfect representation of what happened in May, June.
It's a microcosm of every type of person and every type of group and every type of individual. And let me tell you, we started with 37 solid writers from Reading that went from Reading back to Reading. But we grew to over 500 writers. Dave talked about Kentucky. First thing out was Elko. Elko had 300 bicycles, a parade, a full event with barbecues. We get to all the way through to Utah. We get to Kentucky, 100 police cars, a helicopter, 9 motor cops from border to border. And, of course, there they gave me the rank so that I could pull rank on Carl, because they made me a Kentucky colonel.
Yeah.
And I thought it was more of a joke till you realize what they are, and it's a very serious thing.
Maybe it was fried chicken for a minute, but no.
No, that was the joke from everybody.
Yeah.
Now we don't have to buy fried chicken.
No, that's a big thing in Kentucky, to be designated as a Kentucky colonel.
Yes,
it's a big thing.
And then the story is when we hit the deal, all 5 lanes of that freeway were closed. Dave didn't give you the right representation. There was 8 miles of us, and there was every car behind us at 4 o'clock at rush hour traffic stopped.
Wow, that is a visual.
Yeah.
I wonder if they have any aerial photography of that. But we've got to take a break here. Our guest is Fred Salonti, Missing in America Project. This is some really great, very patriotic moments here. Stay with us. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio here on KCNR 1460. I tell you, Bad Bob, off we go. Fred, thank you so much for being our guest today, Fred Salonti. You've got some facts and figures there in front of you, Fred.
Yeah, I don't know. Do we want to say them? We can. We've done, obviously, lots more people. We visited over 1,000 funeral homes. We buried over 600 veterans that are actually in the ground. We have maybe 3,000-4,000 records that we're looking at right now. And we're trying to work hard at getting more and more states to let us do more things and have more legal authority, and that's still the hang-up in some places.
Well, I know you want to, you know, we're going to talk about 2010. You know, you said something today about it cost $30 to move the remains from a funeral home to the
Igoe Cemetery.
Igoe Cemetery cost $30.
Yeah, what happens is that when somebody passes in California, the death certificate from the county to the funeral home is made out to the address of that funeral home. Anytime that address changes to where the location is, it has to be notified to both the county and the state. And therein is what the charge is to update the death certificate.
Okay. Well, Fred, thank you so much. As we approach the end of the year, I think many of us look at, what have I accomplished with who I am as an individual? What will I be doing with 2010? What are my goals? It really seems to kind of come to a head this time of the year, New Year's resolutions. And, you know, Carl and I can say that we've watched the Missing in America Project grow. We've been involved, and we just have to say that we truly admire you. We think you're a hero. And all the people who have put forth their time and energy Dave and the others that have been such strong supporters in going beyond just let me show up for an hour or two, really putting great energy into making this project be successful and changing the lives of people who have found out that they have uncles and grandfathers and people that have been lost in some of these funeral homes. So thank you so much for all that you've done for not just our community but for our country.
So how do we get a hold of you one more time, Fred, and so that people can go to the Missing America Project and see what's going on?
Well, first of all, if they go to the website, www.miap.us, they can find everything, including emailed addresses of all my board of directors and of everybody. And then if they need to call me personally, it's 530-229-9000.
Now, we also have that on our website of Free Fire Radio that's on there. And we will put it, and we'll make sure that's out in front so people can take a look at it. Fred, thanks a lot.
I got one thing I got to say. I just want to say thank you. To this community and to all the volunteers.
Well, you know what? The North State in Reading is probably one of the finest places you can live in this country.
And we love calling it home.
We really do. Okay, you know what? Tomorrow we're going to be doing open line. We're going to be discussing a lot of the year-end events, things that have happened, like the 10 best of this or 10 worst, people that have passed on. And celebrities and sports figures. We're going to talk about, memories from this year. And, we're inviting, of course, our listeners to share it with us also. And then part of that is going to be on Thursday, plus we have another guest. But today, being able to talk about the Missing in America Project and the other subjects today was, it was an honor to us, too. So this is Carl in the Bottom, Free Fire Radio. Just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?